one of the big promising things about NFTs is that it's not just about content, it's about relationships.
Hi, this is Steffi, and welcome to the Financial Fox, Investing and Innovation Ideas with a Twist. Today, we'll look at the NFT revolution. Did you know that you can sell your tweet as an NFT? Well, if you didn't, now you're going to know that it is possible. So relax and watch the interview. We will explain this and much more with Cameron Yejasi, CEO and co-founder of Scent, the social media platform that owns Valuable, the place where Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey's first tweet was sold for $2.9 million in March. So, fad, bubble, or a birth of a new asset class? We are going to find out all the world of NFT in this interview with Cameron. So stay tuned, and I'm sure you're going to find it very interesting. But before we go into the episode, I would like to talk about our sponsors, PrimeXBT. PrimeXBT is an award-winning platform that allows you to trade global financial market using Bitcoin, Ethereum, stablecoins, and much more. They offer traders one of the best user experience. You can trade 50 plus assets at low fee. And the best part is that you can also follow successful traders and professional strategy managers, automatically copying their strategy and achieving the same result. So when they execute something, your portfolio executes it as well. And for their Financial Fox viewers, they prepare a special 50% bonus on deposit. So find more information in the description. Hi, Cameron. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. So I've just been back from Miami, I hear.
Yeah. Miami was great. The weather was beautiful and the people were great. Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, coming back to real life, actually.
Definitely.
So listen, today we have to break down this, big buzzword, NFTs, right? And you have very innovative and very unique platform where big names has been, we saw the Twitter CEO tweet was sold on your platform. So how, first of all, how did you go into the NFTs and perhaps a bit also about yourself and the journey to get there and build up Scent and Valuables?
Yeah, so it's a journey spanning many years. I am a software engineer by trade. And so I studied computer science and I went to work in digital media and advertising. And through that experience, I became very aware of how the value flows happen around content creation on the internet. Right? You'll have a content creator that makes something, a platform that hosts it, an audience that goes to it. And all of this is driven by ad revenue, which primarily benefits the platform. And so I became really disgruntled just like working in the business of optimizing every nook and cranny of attention. And what that motivated me to do was start Scent, which is a platform to enable anyone to make a creative income. So whatever you do on the internet, being able to turn that into something that is directly valuable to you in the form of financial compensation, not just dopamine hits. And the initial vision for what Scent could be was actually an alternative social network like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, where you post and reply and engage with other people, but there are incentives wrapped around those interactions. And so for a number of years, from 2017 to 2019, we were really focused on all of these different experiments around traditional social actions that people took. And we had a lot of fun with it, but ultimately we realized that we're just off here innovating on our own. And it's very difficult for us to reach people where they are at, where they are creating today. And so that was, a big motivator for why we started Valuables. We were operating this network. People were very excited about the mission. And in fact, a lot of the early NFT adopters and NFT supporters came and met on Scent. So it was very much a concourse for that movement. And that was the insight for us that we knew we had to do something with NFTs. It was just a matter of where. And so we chose to apply our focus onto a Web2 social network because we saw a great opportunity in bringing many more people into the movement than by way of starting our own sort of siloed network. And so that led to the launch of Valuables.
So the $1 billion question, what exactly did the buyer get when he's purchasing an NFT?
That's a great question. I think the buyer, Sina, got a bunch of things. I mean, one, he got a lot of publicity and press. Two, you know, even in the form of this interview, right? The amount of attention focused on that moment and on Jack, and by virtue of him being part of the transaction on him, is incredibly valuable, right? You could argue that that was worth the cost alone. But in addition to that, he got a digital certificate signed by Jack, one of one, that says, like, this is the first tweet. This is when it was created. I am Jack Dorsey. I am putting my autograph on it. That certificate on a blockchain in his wallet. And so that is what he now is in possession of and can trade or resell or do whatever he wants with.
But is that going to create any kind of complication with actually the Twitter platform, for example? Because, my tweet is my tweet because it's related to my account. What happens if my tweet, let's say Jack tweets, now it's not Jack's tweets anymore, but it becomes someone else's tweet? Is that okay with Twitter?
So Twitter makes it clear that you are, as the creator of a tweet, are the holder of its copyright, and what you're effectively doing is licensing it to Twitter to be displayed as a tweet. And so when it comes to taking your content and turning it into an NFT, Twitter is they're supportive of that as long as it's happening at the discretion of the creator, the copyright holder. And so we saw early on, there were some instances where people would maybe take screenshots and turn them into NFTs on a blockchain. And Twitter said, that's where they drew the line. They said, that's not okay, because you're taking other people's content and doing things with it that is against potentially their will. And so as long as the creator is in control, and you know, that's something that I think that we, Scent and Twitter are very aligned on, there's no issue.
Yeah. Okay. That was a good point to clarify. So you mentioned before that there is a lot about publicity that the buyer is going to get. So I'm just thinking why the user will be on an NFT and what drives him or her. So you think is admiration for the person they are buying the tweet from, or is appreciation, or perhaps it's just a question of status?
Yeah, all of those things that you said resonate. You know, there's been a lot of studies done into why people choose to give and spend money on creations. And it's a combination of all of those, right? So fandom, if you really just absolutely love the person or the work or whatever for what it is, status, so that you can be regarded as the person who did that. It kind of goes hand in hand with recognition, right? Ego is a very strong driver as well. Being able to sort of associate that with your identity, like I am the buyer of this particular piece of work. And then connection as well. You know, I don't know if Jack and the buyer, Sina, communicated, but there's an opportunity there to be explored further in terms of how the act of transacting in this way can bring people together. I know at the very least, Jack tweeted out a thank you message to him because the money was going to charity. And so these are all avenues that but people value differently, right? But they are all very powerful motivators that, you know, through a lot of research, like way, way beyond the history of valuables alone, have come up as the reasons why people are motivated to make this.
What are the best selling tweets?
Right now, for the most part, the crypto infamous, right? One of my favorites is
Kaiser is going to get one very soon.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, honestly, memes are a great use case for this type of thing, because in the NFT space in general, you've seen things like the neon cat, overly attached girlfriend, like these memes that are widely distributed on the internet. They've fetched for pretty high prices, if I'm not mistaken. The neon cat was like $400,000, and there are many six-figure ones. And so if you look at kind of where a lot of the generation of these memes starts, the cultivation of them, it is on social networks. And so there's a strong argument for a very competitive market around memes in particular. Yeah.
So can you maybe say any names or which tweets will be the hottest one? You know, anybody at the top of your head that you think is gonna drive the top five, let's say?
I think in the short term, it's anticipated that it's gonna stay within the crypto community for the most part. It's gonna be crypto influencers, but the goal is to really be able to get beyond that. And that's gonna be a big exercise in making the technology more accessible, making it more understood, kind of what is going on exactly. Because you'll see it anytime someone makes an offer to buy a tweet on someone who's never heard of our service, it'll be this surprise and delight reaction where it's like, what? I didn't know you could do that. And also, like, what the fuck is this? Excuse me. and so a lot of people, you know, even though there was a big press cycle with the Jack sale, a lot of people still have no idea that this is possible for them, to impact them. And so there's a huge opportunity to expand beyond just crypto. It just comes down to making it easy to do so.
But also, as you mentioned at the beginning, it is a great opportunity for anybody that, you know, has a great idea, has a great tweet to get paid for it. It's not just about, you know, the rich and famous. So talking about that, obviously your platform make transaction on Ethereum. So Ethereum, you know, is quite controversial because the high gas fee. Have you thought about how to scale the platform, or is that actually a problem now on valuables?
Absolutely. We have a lot of work to do to make the payments more accessible and friendly at the end of the day. A lot of times people will make an offer in the range of like $1 or $1 to $5. And making that offer costs like $5. And then if the tweet creator doesn't accept it, initiating a refund costs another $5. And so the gas fees have definitely been something that has come up multiple times that need attention. And for us, we are we accept and we embrace layer two solutions. Our NFTs are actually minted on Polygon, formerly known as Matic. And that actually enables us, because it's so cheap, to put the entire certificate of the tweet on the blockchain itself. And so it's stored all natively there. But for payments, when you think about the on-ramps and off-ramps into any crypto ecosystem, it's pretty horrendous in terms of uploading your ID, putting in your personal identifiable information, all of the background screening verifications that need to go into it. And then on top of that, high fees and in the case of our platform, not even a chance of necessarily buying it, just being able to make an offer, right? So this is pretty terrible, no matter how you slice it. And so one of the things that we're interested in that has been proven out by some of our peers in the space, like Nifty Gateway and NBA Top Shot, is just, you know, using the blockchain for NFTs and traditional payment rails for payments, and just having them kind of coexist, at least until the on-ramps get to a point where it's actually able to scale out beyond just a bunch of crypto nerds.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure that we are going to see very interesting development. I mean, we layer two solution and, you know, because when there is a problem, everybody is going to try to, you know, find that things that is just going to break it and make everything more smooth. So let's say that, right, I just tweet something awesome about women empowerment and I would like everybody to know what I tweet. And perhaps sell my tweet, right? Or get some bids on it. So practically, what should I do it to get it on valuables? Can you walk me through the process?
Yeah. There's two things that you can do. The first thing that you can do is that you can mint it. And when you mint it, it'll appear in your gallery on valuables. And it'll also appear in the main feed of all of the recently minted tweets. And so if you go to Valuables today, you'll see a bunch of tweets that have been recently minted. And these are all by people that are presumably interested in selling them, but also potentially just taking back ownership of their content as well. And so that's one area that gets you exposure. The other, and the most powerful actually, is on that view of a single tweet that is made by you, there is a button that says either announce or share. I forget the exact text, but if you click that, it lets you reply to the original tweet and say, this tweet is for sale, and here's the URL. And so it's you telling your audience your intent to sell. And this has been the most powerful driver for us whenever someone does this, because they have an audience, they have fans, and they're directly communicating with them. And there's no better way to kind of get the message out than, you know, as a buyer, what you want is you want that sort of relationship and that credibility being signaled from the person who's creating the asset. And so that's a really easy way for someone creating a tweet to do that.
Okay. And if I want to buy from somebody, I will just do the same. Go on your platform, connect my MetaMask wallet, find the tweet that I like, bid for it. And then it will be the same process from the other hand, where they will sign it. And then if they are happy with the price, they will release it in my wallet.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, so maybe to wrap this up, there was something that you said at the beginning that was very interesting about, you know, data and also tokenization of social media. I mean, we saw that digital art has emerged with, you know, with NFTs as kind of like the first industry. How do you see the development of tokenizing social media platform, and what else are you planning to do in the space?
Yeah, I think there's so much opportunity beyond just art. One of the examples that gets me really excited is your audience, right? You have potentially thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers on your channels. And what happens if one day you get that account suspended, right? How do you communicate with these people? You've started to see platforms like Substack, the blogging platform, really spring up and be successful because they give the creator ownership over how they communicate with that audience. They give you the email list. With Twitter, there is no big export function. You have to communicate with everyone through Twitter. And one of the big promising things about NFTs is that it's not just about content. It's about relationships, following graphs, and many more types of data. But that's just one example of how you can take the things that are traditionally walled off and siloed and make them open and interoperable, so that, sure, we could build a network that creates relationships, but if we're doing it using the NFT standard, anyone else can also stand up a network that does that as well and makes that data useful for you in the end. And so that's something that we're really excited about. Long term, in the short term, we want to do what we did with Twitter on other platforms, and so we're looking into other networks. You know, the big ones, and so we're looking at all of them and exploring what the potential path could look like in terms of an
interaction. Is there easy things to just do the same things that you have done with Twitter, or there are kind of different scenario depending on, you know, whatever you're doing that for Facebook or, you know, TikTok? I mean, TikTok will be great another social media.
It is very, there's a lot of overlap. Fortunately, you know, there is different considerations around things like data storage, for instance. TikTok videos are obviously much bigger in size. And also there's a consideration around attribution, right? You have a lot of remixes happening on TikTok. Like, there's interesting potentials to explore there. But in terms of a V1, it would be largely similar.
Yeah. And how are you dealing with fake accounts?
Fake accounts? Could you elaborate a little bit?
Well, what I mean is that there are a lot of people, they pretend to be other people on, for instance, on Twitter, on Facebook, on TikTok, everywhere. And it's kind of easy, you know, for these perhaps big personality or personality with some good following. They don't have to be Elon Musk. I mean, they can be just somebody else that is an influencer to get hacked. And then from then, they could perhaps, you know, agree to sell a tweet or to sell a video or something. What's your due diligence process to make sure that actually, you know, that tweet is the real tweet done by the real Elon Musk?
Frankly, we do not look deep into the details of the profile or the relationship. One of the benefits of building this on Twitter is that we're able to rely on their diligence process around suspending accounts and doing things like that. So for instance, a suspended account on Twitter can no longer access the ability to sell tweets on valuables.
So it's more like a partnership, basically, between the social media that you are using and your platform, so that they can do, if not they can do the checks, but they will guarantee that the tweet is genuine.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if the creator violates the rules on Twitter's platform and gets reprimanded accordingly, that's, for now, that's good enough for us. But I think you bring up a good point that that's something that we'll have to definitely continue to monitor as the platform grows and scales.
Well, I think that brings the problem of digital identity, which is, you know, a big concern for all social media platforms. I mean, it will be kind of a big task to take it all yourself in-house. I think there should be some kind of like solution that can just guarantee, you know, the verification of the person in generally out there. I mean, fake news, fake digital identity is just crazy. So the final things, what's your thought about, you know, Elon Musk's Musk rejection to sell his tweet because, you know, he got, you know, a massive bid and he said it was not ethical to sell it?
You know, I wish I had a way to read Elon's mind. Unfortunately, I do not. And so I prefer not to speculate on it, but I'm sure he had his reasons. He's a very smart person. And I think that when he does make a first NFT sale, it will, in hindsight, will have been like, okay, this is worth the wait.
Right, exactly. Okay, Cameron, it was great to have you on the show.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being here.
Okay, so that was a very interesting chat with Cameron. And yeah, there is a long way to go for adding value to the creator economy, and social media definitely something very interesting. And what they are doing, you know, to empower people to sell their data, to sell their creation, even if it's just a tweet, is quite interesting. But, you know, let's see what is going to happen and what other things are going to develop from valuables. Definitely a place to watch. I hope you enjoyed the interview. And if you're not subscribed to our YouTube and podcast channel, please click the subscribe button and follow us on social media to stay up to date with our news and interviews. This is Steffi, and I will see you next time.